I don't know what your week has been like. Maybe you've not really had opportunities. Maybe no opportunities have come up for that kind of thing to happen. Maybe you don't actually know anyone who is in need. Maybe we've simply not sought out opportunities. Maybe we don't think we need to. Yeah, it's good if you can, but we're all pretty busy and there's plenty of other things to do, right? But I share this challenge with us this morning in light of the parable of the two builders. Jesus there says that as Christians, obedience is what our lives must be built on. He says in Luke chapter 6, in the lead into this same parable, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" Can you turn, if you've got your Bibles with me, please, to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6 from verse 46 to 49. Really, these parables are one and the same. The one that was read from Matthew 7 and this one here in Luke 6. There's a couple of slight differences, but on the whole, the point is the same. But it's helpful for us. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Up till now, I have done well not to fill my head with all of our Sunday school songs regarding the parable of the two builders, building your house on the sandy land, and so on and so on it goes. In one parable, in Matthew, it is described that there is a wise builder who builds on rock and a foolish builder who builds on sand. In Luke chapter 6, we're told one dug down deep to build a foundation on the rock and the other did not. Only just a slight difference. But it's about building on the rock. And so this morning, as the screen previous showed us, we're going to look at two men, one storm, and two outcomes. And the title of the sermon this morning is Digging is Doing. Digging is Doing. And so basically, two men are building houses. Now, building houses is not an easy job. Okay, I recognize that. Yet, there is an ease of modern machinery and available resources which was not the case in Jesus' time, or even now in certain parts of the world. Now, it's true, of course, to say that in those times and in those places, what was required of building a house was much more simple. But still, it was a lot more dependent on hard labor. Now, when I worked in Scotland at Teen Ranch, we had started camps in various places throughout Europe and in Africa. And in some of my work, I went to Kenya and also to Romania. When we went to Romania, there was an existing house, but we were building an extension, and one of the things we did is we built a cellar. That was what was required to store the food. So this cellar had to be 3 meters deep. And so when we went, we had to dig it all by hand. It took us 4.5 days. We had 3 shovels. One of those shovels was not a shovel that came from Scotland, but was a Romanian shovel, and could honestly only be used by the Romanian workers who we hired. None of us Scottish boys had a clue. You see, this shovel, in my mind anyway, was made the equivalent of aluminium foil. Every time you stuck it in the ground, it bent up in half. We just couldn't do it. You give it to the remaining workers, not a problem at all. After 4.5 days of digging down that deep, the guys who were in the hole digging down in order to get the soil out of the hole had the spade at their fullest reach above their head and still had to throw it in order that it could get in the wheelbarrow. It was hard work, hard physical labor. There was no diggers, no machines, nothing like that. We then had to make our own reinforcement. We had to cut the steel, shape it to size, all this in minus 20 degrees with snow coming down. It's not a sob story, although it's quite sad. All right. But I say it to show that actually it is hard work in certain places, and in Jesus' time certainly also was difficult. There is physical labor required, even now, even when the trucks pull up with the ready-made prefab kits, there is still hard physical labor to build a house. Commentators tell us that in Israel, people would build only in the summer months, because in the winter months, that was when the rain came. And everything was far too boggy, far too soft. It was impossible to build at that time. But in the summer, the problem was the soil in that area was clay-filled. And so in the summer, when it was roasting hot, the soil went rock solid. It went, they say, like bronze. So while you could build a house on it, and it would stand and be firm. The problem was if the rains came and the water got in, that solid foundation in the summer, then in the winter months, was not like that at all. But to dig in the summer and to get down deep enough to hit the rock was hard work, like digging through bronze in order to get to the rock. I'm sure it makes sense. We understand why we should build on a foundation, and hopefully even that little bit of background about building in Jesus' time helps us understand where we might be going. It would be foolish to build without a foundation. Jesus' parable tells us that. Because if the storm comes and the rain comes and the winter season produces the rain that you expect, well, your house is not going to stand. But the problem is, if you do want to have foundations, if you do want to dig down to the rock, it's going to take a lot of time, a lot of effort, and it will be hard work. So I say that as background to try and help us a little bit. And so the first thing then is to look at our two men. Two men, one storm, two outcomes. The first builder then. He's known as the foolish man. And that's because Matthew tells us he builds on sand. In Luke, we're told he just didn't dig. He built no foundation. Here's the thing. I reckon he did not set out to be foolish. I think he probably knew full well what the soil in Jerusalem was like. I think he probably knew what it was like in the summer and what is likely to happen in the winter. I think he had good intentions. I'm pretty sure he probably did want to build a foundation. But once he set his tool to the ground and started to dig and thought, I am getting nowhere, I think he probably thought better of it and thought, this ground is rock solid. You know what? Why should I stand out in the heat of the day, in the middle of summer, trying to dig this solid soil? Just build my house on top of it. I think he probably didn't set out to be foolish. But when he started, he thought, this is hard. This is hard digging. And so that's the first man, the foolish man. The second builder is, of course, the wise man. He built on the rock. According to Matthew, he built on the rock, and on Luke, he dug deep until he found that rock by which he could lay his foundation. I'm sure it took this man a lot longer to complete his house. It took him a long time to dig his foundations. It would have been hot, hard work. It would have been costly, his time and effort required to do it. But no doubt after he had done it and built his house, he could sleep well at night. And he knew that when the rainy season came, when winter came, his house would stand. He'd paid a cost. But the value of having that solid foundation far outweighed the cost. So that's our two men. Two men, one storm, two outcomes. And it's the one same storm. And I think this is what we need to try and understand from what Jesus is saying to us this morning. The houses and their foundations, of course, as I said to the children, relate to what we build our lives on. Because the ultimate storm that will come to all of us is death. Is appointed once to all men to die and then face the judgment. We will all have storms in our lives of all different sorts, trials and difficulties, varied and many. But the one same storm that will come to us all is death. And so two men face that one same storm, and there are two outcomes. Jesus is coming back. We may die before he comes back, but we will face death. And there will be some of us who will be on a sure footing, certain of standing in the judgment. But for others, we're probably hedging our bets. We're hoping for the best. See, for those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, like the man who built his house on the solid ground, you can rejoice this morning. You can be glad and you can be certain that indeed your house, your life is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. That you will be able to stand when you face death and face that final judgment. And of course, it's Christ's work for you rather than anything that you or I have done. He's the one who's done it all. But when you build your life on Christ alone for your salvation, you will be able to stand on that final day. So that is the first of the outcomes. Those of us who can stand on that final day when we face death and judgment, like the man who built his house on the solid ground. But there's the foolish man, like those who have not built their life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. What is the outcome for them? Well, they will not stand like the house did not stand when it faced that storm. It will fall. That is certain. And sadly, I think many people are hoping for their best, hedging their bets for that final day. Like the foolish rain, like the foolish man, we think the rain won't be that bad. You know, maybe the rainy season won't be like the last. The passage in Matthew 7, got Laura to read a little more of it. The context and the verses around it are very helpful and interesting. In verse 17, we read about false prophets. Verse 15, false prophets. People who deceive us. And there are many voices in this world that would deceive us. In Scotland, you don't talk about blokes very much. All right, it's far more of an Australian word. But one of the phrases I have heard more than anything while I've been here is about being a good bloke. Maybe that's a very Aussie thing. I'm a good bloke. And some of us might believe that being a good bloke is enough to get us to heaven. That is going to be enough to give us a sure footing when we face death and the judgment. It's not what Jesus says. There's no good blokes in heaven. Maybe God will just let me in, you know? I've not been that bad. I've not done that much harm to people. These are the voices that you might hear out there in the world that will deceive you like false prophets and make you think as long as you're not all that bad, God will just let you in. It's not what the Bible says. Your life is not built on a solid foundation if that is how you will live your life. When the storm of death comes, is your life built on Christ or not? Is your trust and faith in Jesus or not? Again, the verses around this parable in Matthew 7 are so helpful. In verse 13, it tells us, with the words on the screen as well, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." In the same way as the parable Jesus tells, these verses are telling us that the only way to build your life on solid ground is to enter it through Jesus Christ. And it is a narrow gate and it is a narrow way. It's far easier to go through the wide gate, far easier to walk on the wide path. But those who want to stand in the judgment must enter through the narrow gate, must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow his way on the narrow path. I think some people believe they are going to heaven. They believe there is a heaven. But I wonder who they think gets there. Does everyone just get there? And if it's not everyone who gets there, well, who decides who does get there? And if it's God, well, the Bible's clear about who God says will get to heaven. Those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to stand on that final day, let me encourage you now, at this moment, to come to Jesus, to receive him and accept him as your Savior. In doing so, you enter through the narrow gate that will lead you onto a narrow path that is not an easy way, but it is a sure way. It's the only sure way for when you face death and the judgment. So there's two men, one storm, and two outcomes. And the key to it all is God's word being applied. Those who hear what God says and who do it. It's interesting. Both men hear the word of God. In verse 24 and in verse 26, both men hear the word of God. So it's not hearing the word of God that makes us Christians or that causes us to be saved. Both men also build houses. Both men have to face the storm, but the outcome was different. It's what you do with what you hear. It is about obedience. It's about those who hear these words and do what it says. And so have you done this? Have you heard what Jesus has said about life in him, about life now in all its fullness, abundant life, and about eternal life in heaven, and about getting there being the only way through Jesus? Have you heard that? Have you done that? I think many of us, most of us, if we're here this morning, are probably in that position. We've put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can rejoice and be glad. We can be certain have assurance of standing in the judgment. Jesus says, that passage again in Luke, as Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, but not do what I tell you? And I want to say this, the hearing and then doing of the words of Jesus are compared to the energy of digging down deep enough to find solid rock. Okay, the hearing and doing of the words of Jesus are compared to the energy of digging down deep enough to find solid rock. You see, while this passage has application for salvation that says we must build our lives on Jesus Christ, there's also application for us as believers. And in particular, for how we live now. What you will do today with what you hear. It's about having faith in Jesus Christ and in what he says about everything. Not just about salvation. See, I started this morning by asking you, how did you get on with last week's sermon and applying it? I said that because we need to do what Jesus says. He says, why do you call me Lord and not do the things I say? Do we come to church and hear what is said and then just walk away and it doesn't matter because we did do what we should do and come to church? Or should we come to church and hear what is said and do what we're told, what Jesus tells us to do? That's what he's getting at here. Yes, there's application for salvation, but there's application for you and me every day. We have to be, as James 1 said, as Fred read for us, we have to be doers of the word, not merely hearers. In Luke 6 again, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? And we might say, but I have. I've put my faith in you for salvation. But is that all Jesus has said? He said a lot more. It's interesting that in Luke 6 he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? And in Matthew 7, where we also find the parable as well, in verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Some of us find it hard to dig deep. It's costly to do what Jesus says we need to do. Is your life built upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ? That means if you have, you do what he says. Are you merely hearers of the word or are you doers? The narrow gate, the narrow road, the wide gate, the wide road. You know what there is not? There is no narrow gate that leads to a wide road. There's no narrow gate that leads to a wide road. But I think that is sadly how many Christians are living their lives. I have seen it in my own life. I want that salvation. I want that sure footing. But then I want the ease of walking on the wide road. I never put it in here. Perhaps for those who are in Bible studies, I will. From Pilgrim's Progress. He's walking along. And he crosses the stile. Because he can see the path he's going to go is much more difficult. I think it's called Bypass Meadow. And it is easy. It's soft underground. The grass is soft. It's lovely. Easy walk. But he almost loses his life as he gets to the end of that path. He has to turn back. Cross back over and follow the path, that narrow road that Jesus had for him. Let us not be people who are willing to take Jesus as Savior but not as Lord. Let us not be people who will hear the words that Jesus says and happily accept them so that we might have salvation, but then ignore or refuse or not follow what he says every day in our lives. Last week he said to us, Jesus said, what you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. We're going to do that. What's very interesting, I find in the Matthew 7 passage, is that it comes after Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You think, wow, great maths. All right? 7 surely does follow 5 and 6. But I think you probably know what's in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, don't you? The Sermon on the Mount. Hard teaching that Jesus gives of very practical living of what the Christian's life should look like. And then he finishes it by saying, he then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is shown in your obedience to his word. Gerald spoke of it again last week. I think it's wonderful that it ties in this week again. Our obedience shows the fruit of our faith. Our doing of the word of God is evidence that in fact, yes, we do have faith in the Lord Jesus. Are we saved by doing these things? No. But they need to be there to show that you do have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Couple of verses that will be up on the screen. The first one in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. Is that just a good... Is that just a good suggestion? I take it or leave it from Jesus? If you want to, you can. Or is it fairly explicit and actually very clear that if you love him, you will keep his commands? Is it optional? 1 John 1, 3 and 4. And by this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So let me ask you again, are you doers of the word or merely hearers? Your obedience is proof of your faith in him. Your obedience is proof that indeed you have built your life on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. There must be evidence. There must be fruit in our lives that we trust in the Lord Jesus, that we have put our faith in him, and that is seen as we do what he commands us. I want to bring everything to a close, but even just this morning, I was thinking, why would we not make him Lord? Why would we not do what he says? Because things he says are hard. We have an enemy who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, who would want to do all he can to stop you being obedient. But if you've looked at the cross, you've seen Jesus hanging there for you. In your place, dying for your sin, taking the full wrath of God upon himself, loving you, being merciful and gracious to you, and you trust that his sacrifice and his resurrection reconciles you with God. You have faith in that. Do we not have faith in what he says and tells us to do? Because here's what we need to understand. When Jesus commands us and tells us what we should do, how we should live our lives, it is for our good. It's because he loves us. It's because he wants for us to have the abundant life. If we would truly give ourselves to God and his word and do what he says, I believe we would experience the abundant life. Why does he give us these commands? We believe he died for our sins, but do we not believe that his way is best for our lives? Are we not willing to be obedient to his commands? In Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone would follow after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's one of the first ever memory verses I learned. I don't know why, I don't know where I plucked it from. But it suggests that taking up your cross and denying yourself is what is required to walk on that narrow path, and it is not easy. It is costly. Like the wise man had to pay the cost of digging deep to get his house on solid ground. But if you would do it, if you would do what Jesus says, then you can have assurance, you can be certain of standing with Jesus in the judgment, of a life built securely on him. I don't think I need to say much, if anything else, more. I think it is clear we need to build our lives on Jesus Christ. Accept all that he says and do all that he says. Let us not take him as Savior but then refuse to take him as Lord. We cannot. It is not possible. Like it is not possible to enter through the narrow gate but walk on the wide road. So we must pray and we must come and ask the Lord for help in doing these things. So let's pray.